You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
I'll never forget when I first heard that song, Fly Like an Eagle, and I just wanted to just scream. I mean, it was okay the first 10 times, but that album was a gigantic, huge, classic rock milestone, and I suppose it still is. But this guy had a career before the Eagle album and then Book of Dreams, and then he really hit the bottom with Abracadabra, I Want to Reach Out and Grab You. Really? So Steve is a very talented cat, and he had these hits, and that's fine. And then he got tired of it and went back to his farm out for like 4 or 5 years, and then said, you know what? This making money thing is pretty cool. So he's going to be touring this year. He's coming to this town sometime soon, too, I think. Anyway, he's doing this Ultimate Hits package. On the hits, 8 previously unreleased songs. That'll be pretty nice. One in which a 5-year-old Steve Miller talks to his guitar pioneer godfather, Les Paul.
Oh, that'll be cool.
How about that? Les Paul is the hero of anybody who ever played guitar. And a 5-year-old Steve Miller talks to Les Paul. That's pretty cool. So that's coming up. What else is going on? There's just nothing. Nobody cares about Hasselhoff and a Knight Rider reboot. I'm just not going to even talk about that because it's just entirely pointless. Judge Judy, don't worry about her. She's got enough money for lunch. I mentioned before that this lady, and this morning I was up at, I don't know, I just said screw it. It was 3:45. And that's the middle of the night for most of you. Well, the TV in the kitchen was on one of these judge shows. How many of them are there? It was a black lady judge, and this white trash had some kind of fight about something. So she had to hear their stories. But if she's on at 3:30 in the morning, the show must really suck. But Judge Judy is pulling down $47 million a year. And CBS just purchased her library of 5,000 episodes for $200 million.
Nice.
So I've lost track of how many of these shows there are. I don't watch.
They come and go, those.
Yeah, they do. And I can't. There's Judge Alex. Is he a black guy or a white guy?
I don't know.
Some white dudes, some black dudes, some black ladies, some white. But these shows have a popularity, but it's targeted to a specific audience that also, I think, finds Maury Povich to be interesting.
I guess, but they're really cheap to produce.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah, that's why there's
just find some dumbass criminals and you're in. So.
You hang out at the small claims court with your agent, say, want to be on TV. Here, sign this, and why not?
Yeah, I know. It really
give him
is.
$20 and a deli sandwich for appearing. And
boy, Wes, my computer is going completely insane. Will you walk over here a minute and let me turn your mic down and fix this because I can't do much about it. And so I guess it's them damn North Koreans because this is all going tits up here at once. It's really, really comforting. There is some audio here. On the day that we have discussed Glenn Campbell and his passing, and if you're a young person and don't get it, why we can't stop talking about it, it's because this guy was a very unique individual in this industry. And it was the 60s and 70s when he had a 20, 21 something hits. He had 8 number one albums, had his own TV show that was watched by 50 million people a week. And he began his career in this band of session musicians that all lived in L.A. The Wrecking Crew is a famous outfit, and they played on every hit record, I swear, that came out of L.A. for a long time. The Beach Boys, Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, you name it, and they were on it. And then somebody saw that this guy had some talent. And I guess he was first known for his guitar, and he was a fine picker. And they've got a thing here, a section of a tune with him and Keith Urban. Let's see here. This is him on a CMT performance playing Galveston, one of his old hits, and he plays the lead guitar solo. I suppose when the rock and roll craze of the 70s began that that's when he had his TV show and he toured. What year was it that he outsold the Beatles, Sid?
1969.
God, that's really a feat. So Glenn Campbell outsold the Beatles for an entire year. He was that popular. And then the perils of this business, the booze and the coke and all that crap got to him. And he was down for a bit. And I guess he kept touring, but he wasn't as high profile. This guy put out 70 albums.
Wow.
70. Now, that's how prolific these people, I guess, were either forced to be or they were on their own. Andy Williams and Johnny Mathis and guys like that have probably did the same number. Just endless albums. One or two a year or perhaps three. Then their Christmas album, and then their love songs album. And they just keep cranking them out. But I didn't have any idea that Glenn Campbell had done 70 records. He was also very versatile. And I remember, who was it? Soul Asylum played at Mud Island one night, back when they were at their peak. And their encore was Rhinestone Cowboy.
Cool.
And I thought, what in the world? So he had the respect of generations of musicians that knew about his songwriting skills and his playing skills. This I want to hear, too, because I always loved this band, Bread. These guys are all dead, I guess, except for David Gates, but they had some great old love songs that were cheesy back in the... this is Glenn Campbell live in London. 1975, singing along with David Gates from Bread on their first big hit. That's just really, really good. That is talent that you just don't hear anymore these days. And that sounds like an old guy, but I mean you just don't hear this kind of specialized, just some of the gifts that these people possessed. And that's why when they get to be 80 years old and you've heard their songs your whole life and then you watch them die, the impact of it is a little bit, it just makes you think back. And this guy was one of the good ones. And what else do you say? I mean, he was ill. And I will say again that I think that one of the most impressive things about him and about how he handled this was, well, how he didn't hide.
Yep.
He was addled. He knew it. His kids knew it. He did this tour and played on television several times. He had three kids in his band with him for support, I suppose. But his wife was there by his side, and she never left him and never, was embarrassed about it. Because I guess they did two CBS Sunday morning interviews. And the first one, he's pretty much there. The last interview he ever did, you can see him slipping away. And it's really sad to see. But he was strong through it all. And it just crosses my mind that, people that watch their parents go through this. And we've had emails today all day long about that, about this. This just reminds them of seeing friends and family go through the very same thing. And this just hits home when it's someone like this guy who did it so publicly and privately and with class and with, some grace. And then finally, he couldn't talk. He could smile and laugh, but that's about it. And he just went to sleep. And good for him. He's getting out at a good time, is my guess.
You think so? Yeah.
I think that just might be
Or maybe the whole thing just finally killed him. He was more aware than we thought, and he said, you know what?
Well, I don't know. He got a good 81 years, so bless his heart. He's, he is at peace. Rook Insurance. I doubt that Glenn had insurance with Miss Rook, but if he had, he'd be in good shape. She does all these things for people. There's home, there's auto, there's life. And Rook Insurance has the Erie Rate Lock, which means that they lock in your rates for all of your insurance needs and don't change them. And there's no surprises and no shocks. There are two offices around here to go visit if you'd like to. You can call, make an appointment, 867-SAVE, and sit down with the staff over yonder and ask about home, auto, business, life insurance, any of these things. They will help get you into 867-SAVE. Elizabeth Rook and her staff will be happy to help you. I have a list of names here of those they have helped, and they save you money. That's the deal. There's some security involved here, and your rates won't go up, and you're taken care of. RookInsurance.com for further information. One quick last break here, and we got to do, I'm going to do this right quick, and then come back here and play Mr. Campbell one more time on the way out on the day after he has passed. And first, we will play a band who is alive.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway.
Thanks to our friends over at Allen's Automotive for their ongoing care of our vehicles and our kids' problems in their cars, and friends and family and new friends that he gets every day over there because of his great work. In Whitehaven, Winfield at 51 is Allen's Automotive. They're now in their 30-plus years over there, I guess. And on the Facebook page, endless reviews about what a great job he does. You can see it on the Facebook page or allensautocenter.com. And if you have any car issues, there's nowhere else to go. 332-3279 is the phone number. Or just cruise by. It's right off of 51, right before the state line. And you'll find the big Napa Know-How building. It's blue and yellow. And the Napa expert dudes like Alan and his staff will take care of your car needs as they have for me for 15, 16 years now. So thank you, Mr. Alan. They will work you in and get your car going for you, and you'll be happy, I am certain. Today has been fun. Thank you to Shay Flynn. Dumbasses of the Day coming up. Somebody won Matchbox 20 tickets.
Brian from Memphis. Congrats.
And tomorrow we'll do some more of that. And tomorrow lawyer Bill will be here, which will either be uplifting, depressing, or both. a good combination of all of that. So that's the deal on today on the website. At drakeinthemorning.com. David Bowie Unseen. Explain.
It's a photo shoot that he made in 1967 before he was really famous everywhere.
Yeah.
And some interesting shots that, unless you're a real dedicated Bowie enthusiast, you may have never, ever seen before. So that's interesting. Some of the weird things that also come across in a total eclipse, the way animals behavior and how sometimes electronics can be affected. And just
I wondered about that. As odd as things happen in this room, there's lots going on. I wonder what technology is going to, or how it'll react during that day as this approaches. Because the moon was full on Monday. That was the 7th. And so this thing is a week from this coming Monday.
Yep.
I just wonder what will happen when this thing happens. It'll just be smooth and no biggie for 2 minutes and 41 seconds, or if in conjunction with that, something else weird's going to happen. I don't know.
We'll find out. It's people's psychology that I'm most interested in seeing. Who freaks out and how?
Well, there are already cautionary tales. I've seen two. One's about the possible traffic. And it's this corridor from from the Carolinas to Oregon.
Right.
That they expect a million people or more. Around here in this state, in Kentucky, maybe up into there's just this whole area here. Nashville expects 75,000 people there as far as tourists. And around here, you've got Clarksville. We're going to Kentucky to the exact hot spot of where this is going to all occur. And I assume that once we get there, we won't be trapped for a month because of all the traffic. But they're trying to reroute trucks off the interstates, and there's all kind of concerns about that. And this morning, CBS News had a piece about, this happens every time, but they tell you, you know, don't be a dumbass. If you stare at this thing, this will mess your eyes up.
Yeah, you don't.
This is not a joke.
You don't stare at the sun anyway. That's a good general rule. Yes. An eclipse doesn't make it safer to stare at the sun.
Right. And so if people understand that, then we're all good. But don't be a dumbass. I mean, that's why these glasses are available for because if you just watch this thing, or even worse, through a, you know, camera lens or some kind of a scope to make it come nearer to you, you will have no eyesight.
That would be bad. You'd regret that.
And that would suck. It'd be the last thing you ever saw, but it still isn't that cool. So don't be a dummy.
Yeah, the Pink Palace has those glasses, and they're also doing a whole big event on the day of the eclipse. If you want to head that way,
very
and do it
good.
That way.
All right. Well, it's been a good day. Thank you for all the comments, people that have been affected, I know, by some of this music and about the thoughts of Alzheimer's, and we face it in our lives with our families, and we shouldn't forget those that do and are doing it now. And we've gotten some great emails today. It's just saying thanks for playing. This is the one here that I think it just brings all this into perspective, because Glenn Campbell wrote this about a year after he was diagnosed and knew that it was coming and knew it was getting worse. And so he cut this album, and I've played it, I guess, several times over the years when he would comment or, you know, do something or, like, go on tour or get worse. But he was still in his right mind and his right voice. And this was from the album Ghost on the Canvas, which was how he described what it feels like to have Alzheimer's. And this is the little prelude called A Better Place. Rest in peace, Mr. Campbell.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.